ओम ज्ञानति निरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जन शलाक चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ज्ञान विज्ञान चित्तात्मा कुटस्थो विजितेन्द्रियः युक्त इत्युच्यते योगी समलोष्ट्राश्व काञ्चनः। Translation: a person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, as the same. Purport: book knowledge without realization of the Supreme Truth is useless. This is stated as follows. Atah Shri Krishna Nama Adi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sivon Mukhe Hi Jivado Svayam Eva Spurati Adaha. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Shri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. This Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna, because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. By realized knowledge, one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions. But by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. It is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled, because he is surrendered to Krishna. He is transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan is, in English, the equivalent for that word is considered to be God. Bhagavan is giving knowledge of how to understand him. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, there are different descriptions of the person who is eligible to understand him, different facets of the qualifications to understand God. Here some of them are mentioned. Jnana vijnana triptatma. One is satisfied. Yadricha labha santushta. Elsewhere in Gita, Lord Krishna says, one should be satisfied with whatever one gets. How is that possible? By proper knowledge. Kutastha, spiritually situated. Vijitendriya, senses completely under control, then one can be satisfied. Then such a person, yukta itti uchyate yoga, yogi, then he is eligible to be actually a yogi. Yoga means yukti. So one joining together. So one can be a yogi if he has these qualities. He is a yogi. And another symptom which might seem extraordinary to a materialist, samalo strashma kanchana. He sees pebbles, stones and gold the same. Why is that? How is that possible? We have gold shops and we have stone shops. So people don't decorate themselves with stones. They use gold alankar, not stone alankar. Or someone may invest in gold. At the time of marriage, gold is given, not stones. Gold is considered very valuable. But a self-realized person sees them equally. Why? Because he has no motive to enjoy. From another perspective, he may see it differently. That here is gold, let us decorate Krishna. That is higher. Ordinary yogi is not interested in gold, but higher yogi is interested for the sake of satisfying Krishna. Because Krishna is not necessarily satisfied with gold. In fact, in Shastra it's stated that for Archan, more pleasing to Krishna than gold, emeralds, big temples, all these things are flowers. Krishna is Vanamali. He has decorated with nice fresh flowers. So in Archan Marg, it's more important to have fresh flowers for Krishna than gold and jewels. But we think we should put gold and jewels because we think it's better. But Krishna thinks flowers are better. And it's more difficult to get fresh flowers than it is to get gold in these big cities. Because they grow it outside and they pluck it one day and bring it in the next day, and you can't offer fresh flowers to the Lord. So what is the use of living in this big city? You can't even get fresh flowers to offer to the Lord. Miserable. So these are some of the prerequisites for one who can understand Krishna. The idea is given that one who has no material desires. Triptatma, santushta satatam yogi. This theme comes again and again in Gita. One should be materially satisfied, not materially ambitious. Nowadays in India, everyone is materially ambitious. People don't want to stay in the village. Let us go to the town and earn more money. Let us work harder. Previously, most people in India operated on the understanding yavadartha prayojana. We should work for as much as we need, not more. And balance time, cultivate dharma. Even less than 10 years ago in some village area in Dakshin Canada, one American devotee was telling me he was making some buildings there in a he saw the workers, they're working very slow because his work is used to American standards. So he thought, well, how to get them to work faster? So he told the contractor, we'll pay them more, then they'll work faster. He said, no, they'll work less. He said, oh, that doesn't make sense. So he anyway went ahead and paid them more, and the next day they didn't come to work. He said, what happened? Well, they're only working for as much money as they need. So if you give them 2 days pay, then the next day they won't come. They'll come when they need money again. So that's even in the modern times, still that consciousness is there. That Why should we? What are we going to do? What should we do with extra money? Of course, I don't know if they're using this balance time for dharma, but that non-ambition that was ingrained in the Indian psyche, that we should be, that whatever we get, we should be satisfied. And the modern way of thinking is, however much we get, we'll never be satisfied. So which is better? To have a little and be satisfied, or to have a lot and not be satisfied? The crazy people will say, better to have a lot and not be satisfied. But then you're always dissatisfied. However much you get, you'll be dissatisfied. And the result of that is that one cannot understand Krishna. Let us consider, what does it mean to understand Krishna? Prabhupada has quoted his famous verse, key verse for understanding Krishna consciousness. Atashi Krishna Nama Adi. Who can say the rest? Who said that? Say it again, please. Spurati Adaha, yeah. Who's that? Pandit's wife?
Vidvan's wife.
Yeah. She's Vidvati, I guess. So, I was saying at midday, maybe people were not happy that women, they shouldn't be educated. But they get educated by being with their husband, who's the guru. That's the system. Real education. So, this verse, you should all know this verse. This is, we cannot understand what is Krishna consciousness without, this is the key. Atah. Shri Krishna Nama Adi. Nama Adi means Nam, Rup, Gun, Leela, Parika, all this. Everything about Krishna. Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai. They do not become manifested to the mundane senses. But Krishna reveals himself to those whose senses are sevanmukh. Those who do not employ their senses in sense gratification. That's why they see samalosh drashma kanchana. They see pebble, stone and gold as the same, because they have no motive to enjoy them. But whose senses, seeing, feeling, tasting, smelling, touching, thinking, all the senses are centered on how to satisfy Krishna's senses. Again we have Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate Sarva Padhi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratvena Nirmala Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. These are key verses. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada has summarized all the vast knowledge of Shastra in a few verses. He has given what is the essence. Another one, Anyabhilashita Shunya Jnana Kama Adhyanavritam Anukunyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Rutam. These are key verses given by Rupa Goswami, which he summarizes what is bhakti, actual bhakti. No material desire, no other desire, no desire to become a big intellectual or great karma via hero of mundane activities, but only interested in cultivating love of Krishna, understanding of Krishna in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. So these are all related. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. All the senses should be engaged in the service of Krishna. That Sarva Padhi Vinir Muktam, being freed of mundane designations. I am rich, I am poor, I am Kannada, I am Tamil, I am PhD, I am plus two pass, all this mundane designations. No, we are servants of Krishna. Engage all the senses in the service of Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, it's not bhakti. We may be doing service to Krishna, but if it's not for Krishna's pleasure, then it's not bhakti. Just like at midday I was talking about Satyanarayan Puja, and I just happened to come here and we have three times over. And people, they want to do Satyanarayan Puja. This is completely mundane. Some, because Narayan is there. So Narayan, he is not mundane, but our concept of him as an order supply. That Narayan, this is my shopping list, you fill it up. And if you don't, then we won't believe in you. We'll call you Mithya. So this is not Sevanmu. That means we want Narayan to serve us. That is not bhakti. Bhakti means to serve him for his pleasure. Then Atashi Krishna Avadi Navagat Graham Indriya. We cannot understand it through the mundane senses, but he, out of his kindness, will reveal himself to us if we desire to serve him. A mundane example we can give, that some big man, president of India or whatever, how can we expect to see him or establish any relationship with him? These big ministers, chief minister, they have open house sometimes, isn't it? They allow for half an hour a day. And if you can get in and you say, please sign this, and he signs it, and then you go. They do like that. I went once years ago in Patna to the chief minister. It was long before Lalu's time. So they have 20 minutes a day. They sit at their residence and you go in and we need this, and if he wants, he'll sign, or he'll say, go here, see this person, that person. But even to get in there, you have to see someone else. So how can you see him? If he is favorable to you seeing him, then you can see him. That will be processed by his secretary. But we can't just demand chief minister should come and see me. Show me the chief minister. We say, show me God. You can't even show the chief minister. He's a little, not even a fly compared to God. And then, show me God. What a ridiculous thing to say. And then he has to come to you. Oh yeah, oh, God, come here. Oh, okay. No, it's not possible. When we become inclined to serve him, then out of his kindness he will reveal himself to us. One man, this is a long time, we're talking about the time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so kindly present in the world among us. So one man came to him and said something, there's one acquaintance of mine. I can't understand. He had so much bhakti for Gaura. Gaura means Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had so much bhakti, and then he completely changed. So I can't understand. Maybe you can explain what happened. That his only daughter, very much beloved to him, became very sick, and he was already doing bhakti, but then he increased it. So he became very strong in bhakti, and he was always, all the time chanting, Gaura, Gaura, Gaura. And he was doing special pujas, and going to his guru twice a day, and became fully absorbed in Gaura bhakti. But then anyway, his daughter became more and more sick and eventually died in great pain. So after some time, again I saw my friend, or this acquaintance, and I asked him, well, how is your Gaura bhakti going on? There's no such person as Gaura. If there had been any such person as Gaura, he would have saved my daughter. I was doing so much bhakti. But anyway, my daughter died in pain. So there's no Gaura. No Gaura Tora in Bengali. No such thing. We don't believe in any such thing. So this man said to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, how is that? How is that possible? And he said he was never worshipping Gaura. He was worshipping Shaitan in the name of Gaura. That he was not worshipping the Gaura of Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Madhavendra Puri, who have prayed to Krishna that we are simply awaiting your mercy in any form that it comes, just like the chartered bird is looking up to the cloud, hoping for rain, and maybe the thunderbolt will hit him, but still he won't take water from any other place. He'll only wait for the mercy of the cloud. Ashlishava padaritam pinashtuma adashadam namahatam karotuva yatatatava vidatatu lampato nat prananatas to saivanapara. That you slap me, crush me, or embrace me. Either way, I know no one but you. This is bhakti. Bhakti is not, we'll do Satyanarayan puja, and he doesn't do what we say, so we throw him out and we worship Sai Baba instead. You say Sai Baba is better, because Sai Baba fulfills all our desires. It's not bhakti. Long way from bhakti. People say bhakti, they use all these words, bhakti. And people don't, no one knows what is bhakti. Everyone in India, they know this word, at least the Hindu, probably the Christian, maybe the Muslims also, I don't know. But this word bhakti is well known. And you say, yes, yes, I'm doing bhakti. They have no idea what is bhakti. Mostly people think bhakti is you do some puja and then you pray to God and you go to the temple and the God gives you something. But bhakti means anyabhilashita shunya. No desire except what desire? Seva muk. How to serve Krishna for His pleasure. Not that I make myself the center of the universe and Krishna, he should serve me. But rather understanding, he is Prabhu, we are servant. We have to serve him for his pleasure. And if by serving him there is displeasure for me, that has to be accepted. That is the test. So many times people come and they're coming to bhakti, they come to us. And there's that chatur vidha bhajante manjana sukritin arjuna artho jignyaso artharthi jnani cha bharatarshava. Four kinds of pious people, not devotees yet, but sukritivan. They come to Krishna with personal desires for money, getting rid of their material distress, getting free from material distress. Or just some curiosity, what's this all about? Or they may be jnani also. Jnani is best, according to Krishna. They have some understanding, actually, what Krishna consciousness is. But mostly people come for relief from distress. But then they may find that their material difficulties increase, and they say, what's the use? And that means they never understood what is bhakti. If they're fortunate enough to get association of pure devotees in their difficulty, then even their difficulty increases, and they will understand how this is Krishna's mercy. But if we don't associate with pure devotees, then we'll think that
bhakti doesn't work. That means they have no idea what is bhakti. Thinking bhakti is for increasing our material facilities. If we have the association of pure devotees, then they can inspire us with the understanding samalostrashva kanchana. Pebble, stone and gold, all the same. Sukhe, dukhe, same kritva, labha, labha, jaya, jaya. Happiness and distress, gain and loss, all the same. And we may think that, well, if I didn't have so many material difficulties, then I could serve Krishna better. So Krishna should remove the difficulties. But we cannot demand. What often happens is, if the material distress goes away, then the bhakti goes away also. And we don't need it anymore. I did the bhakti and I got the result and okay. Thank you very much, Krishna. See you again when I have some more problems. We'll do another Satyanarayan puja at that time. In the meantime, enjoy while you can. We're on a good run now, so we should enjoy while we can. So Krishna cannot be understood. What does this mean? We're talking about understanding Krishna. What does it mean to understand? We're all here, we're talking about understanding God. What does it mean to understand? Probably we all had the experience at school of, I remember mostly in the mathematics class, that the teacher would introduce some new phase or some new branch of mathematics, which when you first sit, you can't understand it at all. Calculus. Took me some time to get into that. And I forgot it all since. But anyway, in the beginning, calculus, or even simple algebra. X squared divided by y cubed multiplied by xy squared in the beginning. But then after some time it becomes as easy as apple pie, as they say. Once you know how to do it. And you can in the beginning it looks too difficult. But then when it's explained how to do it, then it becomes routine, straightforward. Fine. If x equals if x squared divided by y squared equals 1 minus x squared, then what is the value of x? And in the beginning, and then after some time, then no problem, it's easy. Because you understand the formula. When you understand, it becomes easy. If you don't understand, it's impossible. So understand. We use this word, understand, is applied, of course, not only to mathematical formula, but applied to all areas of human experience. This person is very understanding, means empathetic. He can understand the way we're thinking and the way we're feeling and knows how to relate with us. We call that an understanding person. What does that mean? We have some understanding of the way people are thinking and feeling. Or we understand business. You say this person, he understands business. I remember once in Dhaka, I was going to purchase paper for printing books, Dhaka, Bangladesh. So I came to the paper merchant and he was quoting some price. I said, that's too high. And he said, that's less than I bought it for. And I said, how is that possible? And he said to me, if you're asking that, then I understand you know nothing about business. You don't understand anything. Sometimes you sell at a loss also. Sometimes it's required to sell at a loss. Rather than have stock that isn't moving, better to say that you're not going to get your profit, so you might as well sell it at a loss. So someone who understands business, you can see, oh, here's a good opportunity, let's go for that. So understanding, we can apply to all different areas of human experience. In the beginning we may get training, and after some time, something that we're trained to do, it becomes almost intuitive. Just like a doctor is trained in medical college, but then by practicing medicine, a good doctor he sees the patient and intuitively he can understand what is the problem. He's had so many cases, you can understand. So what is it? We're talking about understanding now. What does it mean to understand Krishna? Now here in this purport, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna cannot be understood by an academic method. Now medicine we can understand by an academic method. And then by practicing, we actually, that becomes practical knowledge that we can apply. Similarly, mathematics we study by an academic method. And then in the beginning it may be difficult, but when we're practiced, then we can do calculus and all these different things. We understand, even cooking chapatis in the beginning. Then you may not understand, just can't get it right. You put too much water and then someone tells put some more atta, and then you put too much atta, and then again you have to put more water, and you just don't get it right. But after some time, the ladies, they're not even looking, they're gapshap both day, and they're rolling to pan and throwing on the fire and turning them over and cooking four or five at once, becomes a perfect chapati. And someone else, they're trying to show, and they can't quite get it. So for all branches of knowledge, some training can be there. Of course, some cooking chapatis, well, almost anyone should be able to do that. But not everyone can be a heart surgeon. You have to have some certain amount of gray matter, more than others. So, in each case there is training, and then after training, one understands how to do it. And understand means that you understand all the intricacies and what's going on here. And for a heart surgeon, it may be like rolling chapatis. If you open up and you see there's a blockage here, and we have to put a tube in here, and it becomes straightforward for him. But here, Prabhupada writes that one cannot understand Krishna by the academic method. That means that we can go to university and study comparative religion, or we can go to a Mayavadi and study about Krishna. We can learn in the books. Krishna was a tribal god who became identified with the Vedic deity Vishnu. That's a common theory of Indologists. It was Aborigines because they were worshipping, and then it became identified, and then the Krishna, the Vraja legend became tied up with the Dwaraka legend. They have so many theories. So one cannot understand Krishna by the academic method. If one goes to a person who is PhD in Indology or comparative religion, that will not only not help us to understand Krishna, but we'll go further, we're less likely to understand Krishna, most unlikely to understand Krishna. The people who understand Krishna the least are those who study him the most, according to the academic method. They are further away from Krishna. Why is that? The best mathematicians are those who study. The best doctors are those who, they do their, MBBS, and then they become a specialist, then they become a super specialist. You study more and train more. But then if you study Krishna, you'll understand less, because
this method of study does not invoke sevan mukta, the attitude of service by which Krishna can be understood. It invokes the attitude of thinking that Krishna is a subject for me to study. I'm going to university, what shall I study? Maybe I'll study sociology, or maybe psychology, or maybe statistics, or maybe pure mathematics. People don't study pure mathematics in India, do they? No one. What's the use? You don't get a job. Everyone's a Shudra, you have to get a job. So they study BCom and things you can get a job with. And in the Western countries, they also have Indology, because that's also required to have an Indology department so that they can train the people that Bhagavad Gita is something that we can study and we can put it in a box, and therefore you don't have to follow Bhagavad Gita because it's something, it's required. They require to have an Indology department so that they can maintain their society without any transcendental understanding. So they have to study Bhagavad Gita and Krishna and all these things. Otherwise, it's very dangerous. Otherwise, someone might come and teach Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then people won't believe in all the other rubbish things they're teaching in the university, and that'll spoil our whole system. So it's very important for the materialists to have Indology departments in their universities so that they can categorize Krishna according to mundane knowledge, so that we can say, yes, just like we understand mathematics, psychology, and chemistry, and physics, we know about Krishna. Krishna's in this box here, under control. Krishna is a tribal legend that became identified with Vishnu, and the different people who worship, and then you have an expert in studying the traditional rivalry between the Tengalaya and Vargalaya, and it's all, we wrote the book, and yes, you can also come and study and understand, and you can become a PhD in Vaishnav study, and we'll give you a certificate, and you won't understand Krishna. You'll never understand Krishna. You'll be further away from understanding Krishna because the methodology is incorrect. You're thinking Krishna is a object of study, like some people study butterflies in the Amazon jungle, and someone studies Krishna. Same methodology. Put them under the microscope. Apply our mundane intelligence to understand. But Krishna cannot be understood. Not possible. Krishna can be understood by His mercy only. Atapite deva padambuja dvayam prasadaleshanu grihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavang mahimno nachanya ekopi chirang vichinva. Which means, does anyone know what this means? Can anyone say? Krishna cannot be understood by the academic method, but Krishna is to be understood by the spiritual method of study. Bhagavad study. You should know what is Gita, Bhagavad, all these important teachings. We're not saying don't study Krishna, but study Krishna in the proper way. So all these important verses, actually you should all know this. Very important. It's related to this Atashri Krishna. At least you should know this one. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sivum Mukhehiji Vadar Swayam Eva Spurati Adaha. Does anyone remember what this means? Quoted it three times now. Twice. Can anyone remember what it means?
You cannot understand Krishna by academic study.
By service attitude. Krishna reveals Himself. So this is explained more. This is this verse which I quoted now from Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Brahma, who Himself tried to measure Krishna, who is immeasurable. He tried to measure Krishna how? By stealing the cows and cowherd points. And Krishna showed, what is the meaning of His name? Ananta.
So Atha Piti Deva, after describing the transcendental qualities of Krishna, Brahma says that therefore, Deva, Atha Piti, you, Padambuja Dvayam, by the, if anyone can get a little drop of the mercy of your lotus feet, Prasada Lesh, Anugrihita, we have to, that means, get it means we have to accept that also. Then Janati Tatvang Bhagavan Himna. Then he can understand something about Tatvagyan, Bhagavat Tatvagyan. Nachanya Ekopi Chirang Vichinvan. Otherwise, one may study for millions of lifetimes and not understand anything about Krishna. So the academic scholars, they know a lot about Krishna. You can go to some academic scholars and they can explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in detail, but they don't understand a single word. They can explain. Jiva Goswami says this. Ramanuja Acharya says this. They can explain, but they don't understand. They cannot understand. They think they understand, and it may appear to others that they understand. But understanding will be demonstrated in seva. Sevang Mukh doesn't just mean, yeah, I feel like doing some service. It means actually doing service. So the result of the knowledge will be of understanding. What is that understanding? Understanding, he is Prabhu, we are Das, we have to serve him. Jivesurup hoy Krishna nitya Das. This will be demonstrated in our desire to serve. But that desire to serve also has to be anyabhilashita shunyam. Otherwise, so many people come to serve God, but that is a business deal. I'm serving, I'm scratch your back, you scratch mine. You've got a bigger hand than me, so I can get more back from you than you give to me, than I give to you. So this is not actually bhakti, if we're thinking what we can get from him. So if one has developed an attitude of service, then Krishna reveals, we cannot understand God. The mundane senses, they cannot understand. They're wholly inefficient, wholly incapable, totally incapable of understanding Krishna. The mundane senses, what does this mean, mundane senses? The senses, they are grouped around, what is this? Vishayanupasevate. What is that verse? Shotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghanam eva cha adhishtanam manaschayam vishayanupasevate. All the senses are grouped around the mind, and according to our mentality, we employ the senses in sense gratification. In other words, a hog, his mindset is that stool is wonderful. So in his mind, when he sees stool, he thinks, this is very nice, I should eat it. And he goes and eats it and he enjoys it. Because his mind, by his consciousness, he sees stool as something enjoyable. So like this, in conditioned life, according to the mentality that we have inherited, according to our previous activities, we have a different way of looking at the world. When you look at stool, you don't think this is something nice to eat. When the hog looks at stool, he thinks it is something nice to eat. But we look at something else and we think, this is nice for my enjoyment. So it's the same mentality, but according to different mixtures of rajagun, tamagun, sattvagun, then we perceive different things as enjoyable for our senses. We may like some dosa, idli, sambar, and the hog likes what was our dosa, idli, sambar the day before. So it's the same mentality that I shall enjoy. But Krishna is not an object for our enjoyment. Krishna cannot be perceived by the mundane senses because Krishna is not accessible to the attitude I shall enjoy. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this person, he never worshipped Gaur. He worshipped Shaitan, saying the name of Gaur, because he was thinking that Gaur is an object for my sense enjoyment. But object of sense enjoyment, that means that which will drag us to hell. So he may have been saying Gaur, he may have been doing all the pujas and kirtans, but that was not bhakti. He never had any connection with bhakti whatsoever. Because he was conceiving, his mental conception was of Bhagawan as an object of my sense gratification or a collaborator in my sense gratification. But Krishna is not meant for our sense gratification. We are meant for Krishna's sense gratification. So we cannot understand Krishna by any mundane method. Krishna is not accessible to the mundane mind. We can have so many theories. We can study Shastra and come up with so many theories of who is Krishna. But that will not at all help us. We cannot even begin to approach Krishna. Rather, by the mundane method, we will go further away from Krishna by making offenses towards Krishna. Therefore, it's said that avaishnava mokhod kirnam putam hari katam ritam shravana naiva kartavya sarpo chishta yathapaya. Don't hear from a non-devotee or someone who's pretending to be a devotee. Don't hear hari katha. We should always hear hari katha. But we should know that the so-called Harikatha from one who is not a pure devotee of Krishna, that is not Harikatha. It is, the example is given of milk, which is very nourishing food. But if we take milk that has been partially drunk by a poisonous serpent, then the effect of drinking that milk is not that we will be nourished, we will be poisoned. So if we hear about Krishna from non-devotees who think that Krishna is an object of my study, like a butterfly or a mathematical equation. By studying Krishna, I'm getting a job in the university. I'm doing an important service to society by rationalizing Krishna so that people don't become victimized by some cult by which they think that following a religious life is more important than mundane development. And what will happen if people become religious? Many people ask us this. What will happen to the world if everyone becomes Krishna conscious? Then all the material progress will stop, the factories will close. Yes. But it won't happen because you rascal, you're not going to become Krishna conscious. So don't worry. At least you won't be Krishna conscious. Not everyone's going to be Krishna conscious. And there are many rascals like you. So don't worry. The factories are going to go on. We are worried as the factories are going on. But they become worried. What will happen to our progress of material society? So Indology department is required in the university so that they can put Krishna in a box and rationalize. Yes, it's a God means it's some psychological crutch for people who cannot face up to the world. This is the explanation. All religion, all the contributions of the great acharyas have been thrown in the rubbish bin by Freud, who says it's a psychological crutch. Of course, God has thrown Freud in the rubbish bin, but people, they go on with these theories. Psychological crutch, because you can't face up to life. Therefore, people believe in God. See what Krishna is saying. Janma mrityu jaravyati dukkha doshanudarshanam. You can't face up to life. Why should you face? Why should you want to be in a situation where there is repeated birth and death, punctuated by old age and disease? An intelligent person doesn't try to become a well-balanced person. I say you should be well-balanced. Well-balanced means that you smile as you march towards death and rebirth. That's what they call psychologically well-balanced. That we should be very happy and well-adjusted and don't think about the suffering of material life. Just, or if it's there, yeah, okay, it's there, but anyway, there's a TV and DVD and everything's okay. The company looks, you do your service to the company and the company will look after you. The company will provide you swimming pool, life insurance, pension scheme, education for your children. The company loves you. Now you surrender to the company. Give your life to the company. And for every 1 rupee we pay you, we make 100 rupees profit. We love you. You give your life to the company, we will look after you. But dear Mr. Fakimuchu or whatever, you don't even know who the boss of the company is. Someone sitting in another company, another country. This is modern life. You don't even know who you're working for. So, but he cannot protect you from death. So the company is looking after you. It cannot protect you from death. It's another illusion. So this Indology, we're studying Krishna. We have demystified Krishna. We have explained religion. Religion is a psychological crutch. Finished. That's it. Two words, psychological crutch. And all the contribution, all Bhagavad Gita, all the contributions of the Acharyas, we don't need psychological crutch. Shastra teaches us to recognize what is reality. Dukkha doshanu darshanam. To come to a platform beyond desiring kanchana, gold, kanaka kamini, platform beyond that. But the materialists, they only see where is kanak and where is kamini. Where is money and where is sense enjoyment, especially sexual enjoyment? This is the material platform. So, Krishna cannot be understood from the material platform. He is adhoksaja. He is all rights reserved. He calls the shots. He is the boss. We can understand him by the method that he gives. He is not a material object to be understood, but he will reveal himself to those who desire to serve him. We may think that, yes, I shall understand Krishna by my method or by the academic method. Not possible to understand. Krishna can be understood by sincere service and surrender. So this so-called academic method, we should be very afraid of this. This is the greatest obstacle to becoming Krishna conscious. More dangerous than eating meat and drinking wine, which is very dangerous. It's very bad for Krishna consciousness. We don't recommend it at all. But more dangerous is to associate with people who propose to speak to us about Krishna from the platform of aparadha, from the mundane platform. More dangerous. Very dangerous. So we should understand Krishna not by the mundane academic method, but by the spiritual academic method. That's another mistake, to think we don't have to understand Krishna. We just love Krishna. That's all. But we don't know who Krishna is. We have to understand Krishna how? Tat shadadhana muniyo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shuta grihitaya.
Another so important verse. All these Vyasadeva has given us all these so many important things. We should take, Prabhupada has presented them to us. We should take and understand. Don't waste your time. Asata pachala chari. Don't waste our time in. Pachal means gapshap. Just rubbish. Talking nonsense, thinking nonsense, reading nonsense, watching nonsense on TV. Give it up. Whatever time you have, study these books that Prabhupada has given us. Engage in service. Chant the holy names. Such valuable things. So what is this? Tachchadadhana mani bhaktya shruta grihitaya. Bhakti is to be understood from Shastra. But it's not just people think bhakti, just I have some feeling, bhakti. But that will be mundane unless we are trained in understanding who is Krishna. He is the enjoyer. We are meant to serve Him. Unless we are trained in that understanding, that feeling will, we may think, oh, I have so much bhakti, but it's a transformation of mundane sentiment. That won't be actually bhakti. Unless we're trained to understand who is Krishna and what is our relationship with Him. So for this reason, one accepts Guru to take Divya Jnana, Sambandha Jnana, knowledge of Krishna. Otherwise this blessing business, everyone just comes for blessing, blessing, blessing. Take a book, this is the blessing. Try to understand, not just blessing machine. Bless, 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 bless. Take a book, read it, understand. Take this knowledge. Not just blessing. Take knowledge. What bhakti shuta grihitaya tachchadada. First there should be faith. Transcendental faith. Parastasmatu bhavanya vyakta vyaktya sanatanaha. Beyond this material world. There is the platform beyond the mundane. Krishna is not just another product of this mundane world. Krishna is adhoksaja. Krishna is not perceivable by the mundane senses, but He is perceivable by the spiritually purified senses. Therefore, we have to follow the process of vaidhi sadhana bhakti to purify the senses. And when the senses are purified, that means when they are fully seva muk, desirous to serve, then Krishna will reveal Himself. That faith we have to have, that there's beyond this mundane existence, there is the spiritual existence of Krishna. So, tachchadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya. Bhakti means jnana and vairagya. Jnana means, here we're discussing this, jnana vijnana chittatma, spiritual knowledge. And then, yukta iti uchite yogi samalo strashva kanchanaha. And vairagya, by jnana one should get vairagya. By understanding, I have nothing to do with this material world, then one becomes not attached to it for one's own sense gratification, but he sees everything in this world as meant for the service of Krishna. That is vairagya, yukta vairagya, yukta iti uchite yogi. So, prashanti atmani chatmanam, then one can see who am I and who is Krishna? What is our relationship? So the understanding, the concept, that has to be clear. What are we doing in this bhakti? The concept should be clear. That is why Guru is needed. Otherwise we can chant Hare Krishna. Then what do you mean? What is that? Dikka purascharja vidhi opekana kare. Jiva sparshe, I can't remember. Harinama sab udhare means that for chanting the holy names, diksha is not required. Purascharya vidhi, preparatory vidhis, they're not required because simply when one chants, the effect of holy name is there. Then why diksha? because that chanting, that will not be proper chanting unless that is accompanied by understanding of who is Krishna. So, the guru is required to give Agyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshu militam yena tasmai shri guru, to give the proper understanding of who is Krishna, what is our relationship with Krishna, how to develop that relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, bhakti will be some kind of mental speculation, imagination. So, what is the vision? Guru gives darshan, we are blind. We are in the blindness of ignorance. So Guru gives darshan. Darshan means to see, but how do we see? Darshan is also translated as philosophy. Tattva gyan. We'll see. Gyananjana. We'll see through the eyes. First of all, we'll see through gyan. Gyanagamya. We form the understanding of who is Krishna and what is Krishna consciousness. And then, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. When that theoretical knowledge of Krishna is fully purified by being trained in sevanmuk, seva. Actual seva means sevanmuk, when we're only doing for the purpose of seva. Then there is the arising of prem, Krishna prem. This word prem we shouldn't use very cheaply. Prem, 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 no, prem. No. What is that prem? Ado shata tata sadhu sambha. Tato bhajana kriya. Anata nivritti sa tato tato nishtaruchis tata atasaktis tato bhava. Tato prem abhyudanchati sada kalam ayam premna. Prado bhave bhavet kramaha. Prem is gradually attained step by step. First there is some faith, then association with devotees, then engagement in devotional service, then freedom from all that is unwanted. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsanja. Then steadiness, then taste, some taste, there's no ruchistata. Then attachment to serving Krishna. Then preliminary ecstasy. Then prema. So prema is not so cheap. You have to be guided step by step. Being freed from material desires. Developing only the desire to serve Krishna. Then we can understand Krishna. Understanding Krishna is not like understanding some mundane subject. I've understood. I know how to make chapatis. I know how to do calculus. I know how to do heart operations. I know how to serve Krishna. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. It's a completely different consciousness, different concept, different understanding. Krishna consciousness has got absolutely nothing to do with this mundane world or mundane understanding or mundane outlook. That's why non-devotees can never understand devotees. That's why they say, crazy, you're spoiling your life. Yeah, that's true, we're spoiling our material life. That's what we want. Let it be spoiled. That's what exactly what we want. No more birth and death. We want to serve Krishna only. We can also accept. If there's money, we can accept. We're not against. We can accept for the service of Krishna. But for our own sense gratification, nothing. We don't want. So it's a completely different outlook. So we should be very, very careful of trying to import mundane ideas into Krishna consciousness. We have to be careful of this, because in preaching we have to begin somewhere. We have to speak to people, something that they can begin to understand. That's why we'll find Prabhupada in his preaching. He would always make basic points that people can understand. We are not the controllers, we are controlled. Prabhupada again and again would say this. Prabhupada didn't land in America and start talking about Krishna dancing with the gopis. If he did, then people would think it's something mundane. Even in India, they think. But he would point out, you are not the controller. You are controlled. We are all suffering. Every material life is full of suffering. And people say, no, well, it's not the problem. There's birth, death, old age and disease. Is this not suffering? People, then you have to admit. So that's the beginning. Krishna is pointing this out in Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna also points out that there is a condition beyond suffering which you can be taken to. So in this way, creating faith by speaking things that people can just begin to understand. Now sometimes we think that, well, we have to try to relate to people in a way they can understand. That's true. But then we have to be very careful that we give Krishna conscious understanding to others and don't import their misunderstanding into Krishna consciousness, because then it ceases to be Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness means beyond everything mundane. So just like, for instance, people or devotees, they may talk a lot about compassion or empathetic listening and all those things which are there in Krishna consciousness. But if we import these ideas from mundane psychology, and then we import along with it all the mundane psychological baggage of misunderstanding. And then we think that preaching means just to smile at people and be nice to them. All right, smile at people, be nice to them. And tell them that we are not the body, we are eternal servants of Krishna. Preaching doesn't mean only to make people like us. That's how the mundane salesmen, they work. But that you present, you're very nice and cheerful, and how are you, pat the baby on the head. And here's this vacuum cleaner, and we bought it because, you know, it's really good and it'll really benefit you. But he's not thinking how to benefit you. He's thinking how to benefit himself. Because by selling it, he'll get some money. So these are techniques. So he may think that, well, we'll spread Krishna consciousness like that also. That we'll be nice and smile. Okay, be nice and smile. But then tell, you're not the body. Or maybe not smile. Why always smile? Why is it always required to smile? Rather, we have something serious to say here. It's not, Krishna consciousness is not just some, it's like some kind of vegetarian party or something. Or some mundane kind of religion. We have something serious to say here. So why always smile? Why is that required? In Russia I saw they'd made some devotees had made a picture. They had a picture of Prabhupada's face, and around it all various devotees of ISKCON who are initiating in Russia. So every one of the pictures was all smiling. Every one of them smiling. My picture didn't get in there. Maybe they couldn't find a picture of me smiling. I don't know. They didn't put my picture in there. Not that I'm worried. But I was just saying, why they think that always you should be smiling. Why is that? They're thinking that always smiling. That they have some stereotypical idea that a guru is someone who's always smiling. So I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they're thinking that, well, we're all miserable and guru will make us happy. I don't know. But it's not required. They're always smiling like some salesman. But rather the may smile, but that's tatashta laksha. Smiling or not smiling, that is the secondary characteristic. But swarup lakshan of guru is speaking transcendental knowledge. Smiling or not smiling. Maybe shouting. Maybe calling you rascal.
You may think, oh, that's not very nice. But his swarup lakshan is to give the, like the swarup lakshan of a doctor is to give medicine. He may smile or not smile. Which, I'm going to a heart surgeon. Which heart surgeon are you going to? That, oh, he's not very good, but he smiles. Better go to the heart surgeon who doesn't smile and does a good operation. So, because we're on the mundane platform, we tend to judge by something external. But who is giving the medicine? Who is expert in giving the divyam jnanam? That we should see. What is the transformation? If we're thinking we'll go to Guru and transformation means I'll be more happy in material life, then we never went to Guru. We never went, just like that man went to Gaura. He never did Gaura Bhakti. Because he was thinking that Gaura will transform my material life so I shall be happy. But actual going to Gaura means to transform our material life so that it no longer exists. We come to spiritual life. So, this Krishna consciousness means change, complete different outlook. Otherwise, we cannot understand Krishna. Then, mrityu samsara bhartmane, ashada dhana purusha, dharmasyasya parantapa, aprapyamang nivartante, mrityu samsara bhartmane. What's the translation of this verse? Yeah. One who is not having faith. He does not remain on the path of dharma, param dharma. Aprapyamam, you don't get Krishna. Krishna is attainable by faith, not blind faith, but shastriya shraddha. Not Lokik Shraddha, but Shastriya Shraddha. Krishna is understood by faith. But if we don't have faith, then we don't get Krishna. That is, what is bhakti? What is the adhika for performing bhakti? Ado Shraddha. Shraddha Vanjan Hoi Bhakti Adhikari. One who has faith can become a bhakta. And then, Uttam Madhyam Kanishta Shraddha Anushara. One is understood to be on the topmost level of bhakti, the middle level or the kanishta, which is not really bhakti at all, but almost bhakti, according to one's development of faith. So shraddha means, shraddha shabde vishvas kahe sudurja nischoy jehi krishna bhakti koile sarva kama krita hoy. Faith means the faith that I only have to do Krishna Bhakti, nothing else. I don't need anything else. Only that is complete and perfect in itself, and everything else except Krishna Bhakti, Anya Abhilashita Shunya. Everything else that is Anya Abhilash, that is not Bhakti. That is Bhakti Badha. That is an obstacle in Bhakti. So if we think I'll worship Krishna for material progress, and Lord Shiva to get free from my disease or something like this. And that is not bhakti. For Krishna, we'll do bhakti to Krishna and then, but I'm having all these material problems, so let's go to some demigod. That's not bhakti. Anya deva shroy nai tomare kahilu bhai e bhakti paramakara. Bhakti means not going anywhere else, only going to Krishna. There are so many things to say. I'll finish it. People are beginning to leave. Otherwise, Nachanya Ekopi Chiram Vichinda. We can go on speaking millions of years. We should go on. Go on hearing. Don't do anything else. Only hear Harikatha. I have to go. Don't go. Stay. My house is burning down. Let it burn down. You hear Harikatha. This Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said. Someone came speaking and he left and he said, I have to leave. Why? My son is dying. He said, sit down, listen, let your son die. Listen, hear. It's more important. Anyway, he's going to die. You can't stop him dying. Hear Harikatha. He spoiled his life by not hearing Harikatha. You hear. It is required to hear Harikatha. It is not required to do anything else. Who's ready for that? Now I have my business, I have my family, I have my dog, my cat, dog food, vegetarian dog food. I saw a packet for all the pious people who keep dogs. But actually people who keep dogs as pets, they go to hell, according to Shastra. They become dogs. So don't be dog conscious, be Krishna conscious, God conscious. Hear. You have to hear about Krishna. Shravana kirtan karo anukham asata pachala chari kahe premananda manusha janama shafala karana bhari. Go on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Don't stop. Just everything else, just forget it. Give it up. We got this human form of life. So now we should make it successful. Don't put it off. I'll be Krishna conscious later. No, now. Here. Here, Harikatha. Chant. Here, chant. Is any question? Worship the God.
Worship Krishna.
The God means something out there who gives us things. Krishna. You have to surrender to Krishna. Worship, that's another English word. Not a very good word. Anyway, we're using this stupid language. Bhajan. You should do bhajan. Bhajare, bhajare, manati manga. Bhaja, Vrajabhane Radha Krishna, Charanaravinda. Bhajan bina gati nai re. Worship means we have the concept. We'll do some archan puja, we'll get something. We're doing a puja. You come to the temple. We're doing the puja. What's it for? Okay, that'll be 300 rupees. Puja for this, puja for that. Krishna bhakti is not worship, it's bhajan. Bhajan means seva, nothing. We don't expect anything back. Anyway, it's a horrible language, but we're using it. But we should understand what are the meanings of these words. Bhajan, seva. Yeah, then we're worshipping Krishna.
Yeah. I just come across some devotees over there. He's thinking that Vishnu Sahasranama and Adyashima Shrutra for the material obstacles. It is
incredible
since we are saying
Hare Krishna Mahamantra. To worship or to recite Vishnu Sahasranam to get free from obstacles. There are two ways of looking at it, from above and from below. From below, it's better than going to a mundane psychologist. It's better than not reciting Vishnu Sahasranam. From above, from the platform of Shuddha Bhakti, that is called, at best that can be called Vitta Bhakti, or crippled Bhakti, crippled by personal desires. So, better you tell, you have some faith in Vishnu now. But mostly people are doing, actually, if you speak with them, they're not bhaktas, they're mayavadis. Smartas, mostly. They like to chant Vishnu Sahasranam because they think that by worshipping, by chanting the name of Vishnu, we'll get free from different obstacles. That's part of their panchopasana. You worship Surya for dharma and then Ganesh for artha. To get free from obstacles in making money. And then Durga for karma, and Shiva for moksha. And Vishnu is the all-inclusive, he's the param devata, coming from the avyakta. And that he fills in all the holes. So it's actually an atheistic idea. Their vision, that is not bhajan. That is not bhakti. So some they have some kind of faith in Vishnu now, but it's not, that is not actual bhakti. That is a perverted kind of faith. So we can tell them, yeah, give the proper understanding how Vishnu Sahasranam should be chanted. Smartas are chanting and Vaishnavas are also chanting. The Vaishnav understanding, that is better. That is actual understanding. That's why kirtan has to be accompanied by shravan. Unless we hear and understand who is Krishna, what is bhakti, then our bhakti will not be bhakti. Then our so-called gaur bhakti will be shaitan upasana. All these words, we have to understand what they mean. Otherwise, people think bhakti, they understand it according to smarta understanding. Bhakti is something you do, and when you get mukti, then bhakti is a means. Then you get mukti. Or bhakti is a, you do bhakti and then you become, then you come to the higher level of jnana, then you stop doing bhakti. So many misunderstandings. That is not at all bhakti. If we say bhakti, people say, oh yeah, bhakti, that's very good. We'll do bhakti, we'll get some blessings from the God, and maybe those who are on a higher level of bhakti, they do bhakti, then they get mukti and they give up bhakti. So all these wrong ideas, so much education is required. So bring people into Krishna consciousness. But first of all, we should know what we're bringing them into ourselves. Janma sata kali koro para upaka. We should know what is all these basic points. Atha Shri Krishna namadi. You should all know this. All these points. Someone's coming, initiated 10 years, and they don't know what is this. Atha Shri Krishna namadi. That means they're never initiated. I've initiated 10 years. I'm a senior devotee. They don't know the basic things. And what's the initiation? What happened? There's no divya jnana. It means there's no actual diksha. Yeah, I got diksha. I sat in the ceremony. I got the name. But the ceremony and changing of the name, changing of the name to Krishna Das, and you have to understand what it means. What is Krishna Das? So people are very anxious. Give me diksha. Now we'll see what is the diksha, what is the change in the change in life that will come by understanding. Otherwise, we think it's like the Christian baptism. You are saved. We poured some water on your head. We bless the water. You pour on your head. You are saved. You are baptized. So you got diksha. I am dikshit. Diksha means to take knowledge from Guru. Guru teaches according to Shastra. That is diksha. Not just you sit in some ceremony. And then after 10 years, you don't know even what is the basic understanding of bhakti. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavedgra Hinindriyai Sivan Mukhe Hiji Vado Swayameva Spuratiyada. So you study these books. Don't waste time. You call this Vidvan Gauranga here. Have him teach you some. All these things. He's teaching people from all over the world. Charity begins at home. Well, that's what I'm saying. You call him. That's what I'm saying. You call him. He's teaching, he's sitting in Mayapur teaching people all over the world. But charity begins at home. Because Mayapur is our home, not Bangalore or anywhere else. But you see, he's studied this. He's practicing. So you call him. You should protest. Why are you coming here and not teaching us? Actually, we don't have strikes in bhakti. You don't. Push. But you, there's a Vaishnava system is you hold the feet, and you ask, you humbly request, you please. So you won't want to do because you think, ah, who is that? We remember you. He was running around in his birthday suit. We remember him. He was running a baby, and now he's teaching. We cannot learn from you. Should learn. You can teach. You should learn all these things. Kindly learn all these things. So, Hare Krishna. Is there any other question?
Well, this lady has a question.
Yeah.
She asked, whether duty is greater if the Lord is greater?
The Lord is greater. But he says the devotee is greater. So you have to accept what he says. We accept that the devotee is greater because he says so and he's the greatest. This cannot be understood by material, mundane, academic understanding.
Maharaja, Krishna says there are four kinds of people are coming to me. You say one of the categories who is in distress. So is there anything wrong in the people who are in distress going to Krishna?
Is there anything wrong in people in distress going to Krishna? There might be.
Are they not called devotees?
No, not yet devotees. They're called Sukritivan. Jana Sukritinojan. They can become devotees. But devotee means Anyabhila Shita Shunya Savadhaman Paritanta. So they're going to Krishna is good. But the mentality of thinking, I shall engage Krishna in my service, is not good. So they have to associate with devotees to become purified from that mentality, then they can become devotees.
Then this is where they will go. Devotees.
Then they have to come, if devotees are distressed, but devotees are not distressed. Devotees, the only distress they have is lack of association with devotees. There's no other distress for devotees.
Physical problems. And...
No, you go to a doctor. You have a physical problem and you go to a doctor. Doctor can't help them. Then tattenu kampan susamikshamana bhunjana vivaha kitangyupakam vivaha pubir vidatannamaste jiveta yo mukti pade sarkaya bhakam. Who knows this verse? What is the meaning? Prabhupada said, this verse should be the guide of all devotees. So if you don't know this verse, you're not getting guidance. Well, if you don't know it, you don't know it. Does anyone know it? You're all without proper guidance. Again, it's Lord Brahma. He says that a person who accepts the material difficulties, considering that this is what I deserve according to my previous activities, and despite so many difficulties, goes on serving Krishna with body, mind and words, becomes even more than qualified to go to Krishna. He becomes absolutely, it becomes his right. By that attitude, one becomes fully qualified to go to Krishna. So if we have some sickness, go to the doctor. If you can cure it, all well and good. If not, don't go to Sai Baba. Don't even go to Durga, don't go. We can ask Krishna that for your service, if you desire, make me healthy. That we can ask. We cannot demand. We can even theoretically go to a demigod. But we don't recommend it, because then you'll all become totally mundane. Sickness will be there. I can guarantee you will have sickness. I'm not guaranteeing. It's just that nature of this material world. All the best doctors in the world, they're not going to stop. Even if all the best doctors of the world were hired by Bill Gates or whatever, then there's nothing that all of them could do. Whatever they did, however they regulated his life, there was nothing they can do that he won't get sick. There was one, what was his name? Howard Hughes, very rich man. He tried to regulate his life in such a way that he wouldn't get sick at all. That he lived in a protected environment, and all the people who cooked his food and served his food, they had to wash their hands and this and that. And still he died, of course. Spent millions of dollars trying to create a situation whereby he wouldn't get sick and wouldn't die. But it's impossible. So we try to avoid. I mean, we just like in the cold season, we use warm clothing. We don't deliberately try to increase our material difficulties, but if it comes, then what to do? Tans to tikshas for bharata. Tolerate. You get sick, you go to a doctor, he gives you some medicine, you get better. Or maybe you don't get better, then you try another doctor. And then what to do? Anyway, you chant Hare Krishna. Go to Krishna. Go to the land of no sickness. It's the only cure for sickness. Ultimate cure. You don't believe me. Anyway. So go to the doctor. But don't think that any good doctor knows he cannot cure anybody. It's all in the hands of God. Sometimes the doctors, someone comes to them and they say, nothing wrong. And then they go home and they're done. The doctor can't, it looks normal, perfectly normal, then they're done. And they say, no problem, and then they have a, 2 days later they have a heart attack. They have a complete checkup, nothing wrong, everything normal. And 2 days later they have a seizure or a heart attack or something. Best doctor. And other times someone comes and the doctor looks at him as a hopeless case. No, there's no use giving him any treatment. Just you know, prepare the samshan, get everything ready. And then the doctor turns around and says, "Oh, what are you doing? Standing on your 2 feet? You're supposed to be dead." Got up, hopeless case, untreatable. And then just gets up and walks out. And they examine, nothing wrong. So a real doctor knows that it's not in his hands. He can be nimitta matra. He can be an instrument. But everything is ultimately not in our hands. Don't worry too much about material situations. So many, all the time people come to me, I have this debt, I have this family problem, this problem, that problem. Alright, it's difficult, no doubt. But just try to understand that the real problem is that we're not Krishna conscious. We have to go through. What can we do? This modern age is so difficult. But the good thing about it is it's so difficult that people who have any intelligence, they realize we have no shelter but Krishna. That's the good thing. So we may have to suffer sickness, or debt, or something, this, that, the other, for some time. We may have to go through a whole life of suffering these difficulties. But then we go to Krishna. Don't think Krishna's job is to make me happy on the material platform. Then you'll never go to Krishna. Tatenu kampan su samiksha mana. This is the guide of devotees. Try to understand this verse. Krishna consciousness means to see reality from the other side of the viraja nadi. We are sitting here thinking, this is me. I'm this body. I'm in this situation. But from the platform of eternity, we can understand It's really wonderful. I'm really glad I know I'm not this body. Otherwise, you know, what a... It's simply a cause of suffering. Everything connected with it. But the materialist is thinking the body is a vehicle of enjoyment. By thinking, so I can enjoy through this body, but so he tries to increase his enjoyment, actually just increases his suffering. This knowledge, this liberating knowledge, I am not the body. Wonderful knowledge. That doesn't mean we should be irresponsible in material affairs. But at the same time, we realize that everything here is temporary. It's not real. Ultimately, it's not real. The only thing that's real is our relationship.